listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What is prison ministry? Who serves in prison ministry? We're going to learn about that in just a moment, and an opportunity to learn about how you can serve in prison ministry with our guest, Pastor Darrett, in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Nairt, pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois. He also serves as a prison ministry coordinator for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Nairt, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it. It's wonderful to be here.
Looking forward to learning more about LCMS prison ministry and how many people across the LCMS, across the country, serve in prison ministry. I'd like to start with your story. How did you get involved in prison ministry? What made it become important to you?
Well, I think that the Lord, He works in different ways with different people. But for me, it was little pieces that I didn't realize was happening until after I looked back at my life. And I think the first thing was my grandmother, when I was in seventh or eighth grade, gave me two books. They were paperbacks. One was called Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And the other was Run, Baby, Run by Nicky Cruzy. And basically, it was his story that Nicky put a knife up to his throat and said, "You know, I could cut you into a million pieces." And Davy Wilkerson said, "Yes, Nicky, you could do that." And each one of those million pieces would say, "Jesus died for your sins." Wow, that hit me. Now, as a kid, you don't think much about that. Mm-hmm. But then as I decided that the Lord was calling me into the ministry of being a pastoral office, I thought, I need to go back to school, and I hated school. My wife and I made a decision that if I ever got to a point where I couldn't take a class because I was so flunked out that it messed up that I couldn't do it, that I would just quit. And I said, okay. So I thought, I'll take this first class, and that'll be the end of it, and I'll say, I did my thing, God, and you can let me go. So after 10 years, you know, get back in the classroom, and I take cognitive psychology. Why cognitive psychology? Well, I have never had that. So I had to get a credit on something. So I took it. And at that class, we saw a movie. It was about an inmate whose mother was a hooker when he was in the car by himself and she was gone and she came back. And he looked at that camera and look, he was looking right into my heart. And he goes, "And she drank a large gulp 7-Eleven drink all the way down and didn't even offer me a sip. And you wonder why I'm incarcerated." And that night I came home and I told my wife, I said, "I don't know what God's got planned, but," I said, "I've got to pursue this process of whether I'm supposed to be a pastor or not, because something there was going on, because I had been raised in a strong Lutheran Christian family, went to parochial school. I had everything handed to me and given to me by God's grace and mercy. And this man, he didn't have anything. So he needed to hear that in spite of his sin, that God loved him too. He was created as God's child, and God loved him because the blood that saves me is the same blood that wants to save him. And he has to hear the message." And from that point on, it was just like, I hate school, but I'm going. Now the Lord has provided much more than I could even imagine.
That's a really amazing story. Tell us some more about how you were able to serve, some stories of prison ministry that have really made a difference for the incarcerated.
Well, I tell you what, out of the many years I had, a lady at the camp came up to me and she said that she had not been able to receive the body and blood of Christ. She had been in five different institutions. She's an LCMS confirmed member. And she said she was hungry to receive that gift of forgiveness personally. So we set up a time. She did what she needed to do, get the permission to do that through the government system. You had to write a cop out. She got a cop out and it was approved. And we set up a time, sit with her, and She went through confession, absolution, and just poured her heart out. And then I was able to give her Christ's body and blood. And the tears just rolled because she knew, and as bad as her sin was and as guilty as she felt, that Christ said, I'm taking that sin, I'm placing it inside the womb that was put on me at the cross, and that skin is covered up, and so is that sin that she's been burdened with. And, you know, it's precious gift to be able to bring that joy, not you bringing it, but that you're the instrument that brings that message. It's the message. Christ died for you. He loves you, and he wants you to have that forgiveness. Prison ministry is going to those who you may never see in your own church, but they're somebody's person. They're somebody's parishioner. They're somebody's child. They're somebody's husband, wife. They're connected to somebody. And God says, I want you to know the gift of forgiveness is for you too. Some people have never heard it, and some people have forgotten it. And prison ministry is just go in, and I tell people, you go in with one concept. If you could just bring that message to one more person, it may be a guard. It might be somebody that you're not planning on talking to. Let the Spirit work with you in this institution as an instrument for his kingdom and his glory. Prison ministry is not about a castle building. It's about a kingdom building. Building for the Lord's kingdom and his glory.
You bring to light a really good point that when caring for these souls, remembering that these are souls for whom Christ died too.
Yes, absolutely.
What an important point to remember.
Let me tell you a story about that. I've been involved in prison ministry for about 10, 12 years. And I got a call from somebody saying, one of your parishioners' husband's been murdered. And I knew the person very well. He's not a member of the church, but he was involved in helping in prison ministry with another different division of prison ministry in the community. And he did all his work free of charge for any of this that was going on. So I had a lot of contact with him. We were very close. And I had to go to that parishioner and share with her that her husband, you know, is in heaven now because of the blood of Jesus. But unfortunately, he was murdered. You know, it was very difficult, but this is where we were. And as I shared with her the good news of Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life, and she was comforted by that. The next day, I was supposed to go into the institution to visit the men and women in Greenville. And until I got in the parking lot, everything was the same. But when I got in that parking lot, there was something that just came over me like, I can't believe I'm going to talk to these people because there's a whole relationship of what had just happened. It was just holding me back. And you know, prayer is a big part of getting ready to go into institution, but that prayer was special. I said, Lord, this is bigger than I can even imagine, and I need your Spirit and your guidance. And it was just like all of a sudden, this message that you brought to this woman in her grief and sorrow that is a promise of truth and salvation, in spite of how she feels, is the same message for these men and women who are incarcerated, because the blood that was shed on cross of Calvary was for all people. And when I went in there and I just told them, I was like messed up. And I said, guys, I just got to tell you this. And they grabbed me and we prayed and they understood. And they were so grateful that they heard that story too. And it was a beautiful relationship in that Bible study that just continued to grow because I was real with them and they were real with me, and they were believers. They were praying for that family too.
Tell us about the chaplains, the pastors and others who serve in, who provide spiritual care for the incarcerated through prison ministry.
That's a good question, because there is a pre and a post COVID answer to that. Before COVID, a lot of chaplains had a lot more flexibility. They had a lot more men serving with them who would be able to help make moves and things like that. Even in my own institution, it changed because of the lack of ability of having people to help you with what you need to have done, especially guards to be able to walk you in and out of the prison and everything that's involved in prison ministry. So right now, I would say in post-COVID, there's a lot of stress and strain going on. The same message, to get the message of Jesus Christ to those who are believers in Christ, but they also have to do the same message of sharing whatever the faith group is that's in that institution. They have to meet their needs too. And with everything being less available, it's really pulling on them. And fortunately, some institutions, with the regulations of different government things, have changed due to COVID, that they're not having the chaplains that they did. So unfortunately, they're taking guards and giving them the title of chaplain, and they don't care. They're just holding on to a title. So the men are being, you know, not able to hear the message of Jesus Christ, but the position's filled. So that's all they care about. So it's a real, real pressure for the chaplains in the LCMS to be able to be faithful to their calling and still serve all those things that they had to do before COVID. So for those who are serving, thank you. We appreciate it. And our prayers are with you.
Are there others who serve, who provide spiritual care for the incarcerated?
Yeah, it's the same answer, though. In Southern Illinois District, we had a map pre-COVID, and we had 20 volunteers or pastors like myself who are serving in two areas, in the prison ministry and their church. Now we have maybe 5. And some institutions just, they don't care. Other institutions, you have all this other paperwork and red tape you have to work through. So we have a program that we're working in Southern Illinois District to get around that. And I'll talk about that in a moment.
We'll learn more about that and the upcoming Prison Ministry Conference in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking prison ministry today with Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Nairt of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois. He also serves as a prison ministry coordinator for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You've painted a nice picture for us of how you got involved in prison ministry and what that looks like for others who serve in prison ministry as well. What does it take to serve in prison ministry? What is the training? Is there training in order to serve in prison ministry? Does one need to have certain qualifications to serve in that setting?
In the Southern Illinois District, we are very passionate about making sure someone who's doing volunteer or even a chaplain or a pastor who's serving as a chaplain in prison ministry have lots of training. These guys are not, they're not idiots. They read you through you pretty quick. They know if you're playing them or if you're real. And you have to have a good understanding about that, not to be afraid, but to be smart, to be able to go in and saying, I have a message that's so important, I'm not going to let you scam me. I have a message that's so important, I'm not going to let you do something that's going to get me thrown out of the institution. That's the point. It's not a scare tactic. It's a being prepared for the battle that Satan doesn't want you in there. He does not want these men and women to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're pretty certain of that. So if they can do something to trip you up because they've got plenty of time to prepare and think about it, he can use people who are wanting to do that. So what we do is we do all kinds of preparation so that when they go in, they are aware of what could be going on and not to worry about it, to know how to be true to your faith in the doctrine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and how to be real to the people without being so real that they take advantage of you. So yes, training is important. Not every institution or maybe even district has that. But as a Southern Illinois district, we believe it's very important.
You mentioned a program that the Southern Illinois district is doing. Tell us more about that.
Yes, this is called Reaching In. It's a pilot program, and it actually started before COVID, but it was very limited. And when COVID hit, we realized that we need to do something and take this to another level. So what we did is we got together and put together some cards with the help of Lutheran Braille Workers, Lutheran Hour Ministries, and in the Southern Illinois District under LCMS. And we bring these cards into the institution, and they have three cards. One they keep with their signature and the date they send it. The other card goes to Lutheran Braille Workers for free material that's been qualified by the Library of Congress, that if they get a card, they can send it from California into the institution for free. And then the other is a card saying, I would like a spiritual mentor while I'm being incarcerated. And that goes to a P.O. box. The church then takes care of going to the P.O. box and receiving the correspondence. And then that church takes care of either emailing it to people who've been trained or to sending it UPS or USP to the people. Then they send it back to the P.O. box. The P.O. box is then taken the correspondence, put in a different envelope, and sent back to the person who has written to them from the institution. So it's completely anonymous. All they know is this person's first name, this P.O. box number, and the most important, they know that God loves them, forgives them, and Jesus Christ died for their sins and wants to be with them as they go through this time together. Now, this is a pilot program. It just started. I just took the cards in 2 weeks ago, and I was in the institution last Tuesday. I had one of the ladies come up to me and she goes, I sent my card in, you know, so, and on the card, we put down, wait 30 days for the first correspondence as a kind of a disclaimer. We don't want people getting upset. That's why we put a little blank there that we can write their date that they sent their card in. And I can't have conversation with them because I'm trying to always be without a conflict of interest. But I can tell her the simple fact that that's a good thing, you know, and that's what I did. I said, that's a really good thing. I said, you're going to be blessed. And they don't know all the details that's involved. So
tell us about the upcoming conference, Prison Ministry Conference, taking place here in St. Louis, April 15th and 16th.
Yes, we're really excited about this. We got some seed money from the Synod to see if we could develop this. And we thank them for that. And I contacted, like I said, Lutheran Braille Workers, Lutheran Hour Ministries, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, Lutheran Layman's Lutheran Foundation, and Concordia Publishing House. And they're all in this together. And we're having anyone who's interested in learning more about or has been involved to be available to come to this conference. It's going to be at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, the 15th and 16th. Now, what's going to really be exciting is the author of the book Executioner's Redemption is our keynote speaker, and he's also going to preach on Tuesday at chapel. He was a guard in Texas and earned the badge of walking these men to their execution. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he became an LCMS pastor. And through that process came his book, Executioner's Redemption. And he can share anything and everything about prison ministry, and he's so, so passionate about it. We're one, at least one to two representatives of every LCMS district to be a part of this. Even if your district does not have prison ministry, but you have a passion for the men and women who are incarcerated, come to this because you can learn how to bring this message to the district, and you can be a catalyst for prison ministry in your district. So if you're hearing this and you're interested, talk to your DP, district president of your district, and say, is anybody going? Can I go? It's only $100 for the whole thing. You just have to get yourself there and back. But $100 is pretty cheap for a whole two-day conference. And it's going to be really loaded. These people are bringing resources. They're going to share their resources. And then we're going to have table discussions and say, how can we use these resources in what we're doing in our district? Oh, I didn't know you did that. Oh, that's a great idea. A lot of table sharing. It's just going to be a great chance for people to get connected to prison ministry and then create a network that can continue. You know, when I do these conferences at the Synod office, or not Synod office, but a Synod convention or the LWML International Convention, one of the biggest things I hear is people were doing prison ministry, but they had no support and they quit. What this is going to do is create a network system so that no one will have to worry about not having support again in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod prison ministry realm of serving God with the good, serving God's people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this sounds like a really great opportunity for people to learn from each other from districts all across the country. So what a great time for people. Tell us more about how to register. You've mentioned it's $100. It's April 15 and 16 at the seminary. How do people register and learn more information?
What people need to do is go to, I'm going to spell it out, SIDLCMSSAGE@gmail.com. SIDLCMSSAGE@gmail.com. And that will give you a person that will contact you with the registration information. You'll register, and then based on when you're going to be there and how you're going to be there, you will then receive a amount of how much it would cost if you're staying, like if you come a day early or a day later. The costs will be a little bit different, but for the one night, it's $100.
All right. The email address again, SIDLCMSSAGE at gmail.com.
Yeah, SIDLCMSSAGE.
Very good. Send that email to get more information to register.
Or they can call me.
Okay.
618-292-4392.
Very good. That number one more time.
618-292-4392. Text or leave a voicemail. I won't answer it because after you're 65, you got everybody want to sell you insurance.
The Prison Ministry Conference taking place at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, April 15th and 16th. And you've shared a little bit about the registration details, those types of things. And we've got the date, the location, anything else they need to do in order to prepare for the conference.
That's good that you asked that, because when they get that form, we're going to send them some assignment. It's not a big assignment, but it's a saying, what in your district is going on in prison ministry? And it might be that you say nothing, and that's okay. but it may give you a chance to say, okay, how many jails are in our area? How many FCIs are in our area? How many mental institutions are in our area? Kind of spark the brain to start thinking about brainstorming a little bit about, oh, I didn't realize this was available. There's a lot of opportunity here. Why isn't someone going out to these men and women who are incarcerated or mental health, whatever it might be?
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Nairt, pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois, also serves as a prison ministry coordinator for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Nairt, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on the Coffee Hour and sharing about the upcoming prison ministry conference.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share this wonderful message as the Lord works in His own ways, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the men and women who are incarcerated.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.